And joining us by phone now is Beth Dooley, who is the author of Minnesota's Bounty, a Farmer's Market Cookbook. She is also a restaurant critic for the Minneapolis St. Paul magazine and writes for the taste section of the Minneapolis Star Tribune and also appears regularly on Care 11 NBC television in the Twin Cities area. And good evening, Beth.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good. And it's a welcome to the Roadhouse here. And we're going to be talking about your cookbook here, Minnesota's Bounty. The Farmer's Market Cookbook. It's quite a unique cookbook as it's laid out in a unique form, the one that I hadn't seen before, but it's organized alphabetically by the type of food.
Right.
And then goes into each recipes are each food, I mean, listed, you know, alphabetically like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Well, the idea is that, you know, our seasons are so funky. I know you've had a very, very late cold spring, just as we have, and last year at this time, our asparagus was almost done. So rather than try and do a seasonal cookbook for the farmer's market, I thought it made more sense to just look at what's available through all of these northern markets and encourage people to go in and just get what looks best and what looks freshest, buy that and bring it home and then figure out what to do with it.
So where did your interest come with the farmer's market in that particular scene? Because I've actually never seen a cookbook based on stuff you would buy. And I think you say in there, like, scrap your shopping list and go and see what actually looks good at the farmer's market.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I grew up in New Jersey, and I remember going to farm stands with my grandmother when I was a young girl and just loving everything that we got and going back and learning how to cook with her. And then I wrote for one of the newspapers in New Jersey, and I covered the planning and the zoning board, and I watched as all of these beautiful Jersey farms that sold Jersey tomatoes and sweet corn be sold off to developers. And within that 2 or 3 year period that I was writing about and covering, you know, these meetings, we lost a lot of our local food. And when I moved to Minneapolis about 30 years ago, one of the first things I did was go to the farmer's market, and I was just astounded at the difference in the flavor between food that was grown locally and fresh and what was coming in from California. And so it really became a way for me to figure out this new home that I'd moved to, a way to meet people. And plus, farmers markets are just so much fun. I mean, you know, you're surrounded by these beautiful fresh fruits and vegetables. You've got the people that are growing them that you can talk to and ask questions of. And as it's turned out over the years, I go back to pretty much the same farmers every week, and I've gotten to know some of their kids, and they've gotten to know my kids. And it's just a different way to think about food, different way to buy food that I find has more of a story to it and is that much more interesting when you get it home to cook.
And you mentioned the history. You know, like 30 years ago when you moved here, you went to the Minneapolis Farmers Market, and there is quite a history of both the Minneapolis and St. Paul Farmers Markets.
Yeah, it's interesting. The St. Paul Farmers Market is the oldest continuous retail market in the country. And so it was written into the charter of the city of St. Paul. The forefathers of St. Paul understood how important a farmer's market is to a community and to the health of a city. The Minneapolis farmer's market is a little bit different in that started as a wholesale market.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a different complexion to it, but there's still a lot of local farmers that sell their produce and their meats and cheeses there. And I know up in Grand Marais, you guys have a wonderful market. Duluth has a wonderful market. I mean, we're seeing them all over the state, in fact, all over the northern region, which is terrific.
Yes, it is wonderful. And we're going to our second weekend here of our farmer's market up here. So it's pretty exciting. Not everything is out just yet, you know, but as the summer goes along, we'll get more and more things.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about like the Minneapolis farmer's market, now there's more than just one in Minneapolis. There's
right.
Obviously the main one.
Right. There are a number of them actually that have sprung up over the last 5 years. There's the Mill City Market, which is down near the Guthrie Theater, which is lovely. It's small and it overlooks the Mississippi. Then there are a number of neighborhood markets. There's one called the Fulton Market, which is in South Minneapolis. There's the Linden Hills Market. That's on a Saturday. There's the Kingfield Market, which is on a Sunday. And there's a wonderful market called the Midway Market, which is right off Highway 55 and near Lake Street, and that is on Tuesday evenings and on Saturday during the day. And I think what we're hoping Minneapolis will work towards is spacing the markets out, so maybe there will be a different farmer's market every day of the week, so shoppers like me can go to the farmer's market almost the way they would a grocery store, and it gives the farmers a break because they won't feel like they have to be at two markets on the same day.
Mm-hmm. And how about the quality of the farmer, the produce that the farmers bring in? Do they have to adhere to any regulations?
Well, the ones that are certified organic have to be certified organic, and those regulations are pretty stringent, and they have to meet a certain protocol. They have to fill out paper and report things. The smaller farmers who aren't organic, because it is a lot of work and it is expensive, you have to pay for that certification. They may not be certified organic, but they have to tell you whether or not they're using chemical fertilizers mm-hmm. or pesticides. And those that aren't will typically, you know, say that on their sign, no pesticides, you can't just say that and not do it. Right. They're also being held to a certain standard. So I find that the food at the farmer's market, if it's coming from a local grower, is typically cleaner than anything you find at the grocery store.
So, and what about strategy? So if you're going into the farmer's market, it is a lot different than you're walking into a supermarket. So what are the different strategies you might have for going into a farmer's market and picking out the right things?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the one thing I had to learn how to do was to go without a list, because you never know what you're going to find. I mean, you might have an idea, but you want to just sort of go and be open to what's there. And what I like to do is to go and grab a cup of coffee and just sort of walk the market and see what's available, see what looks good, and then begin to shop based on what really looks the freshest and most interesting, and buy that, and then come home and use the book to look it up to make something. And the thing about the farmer's market food, when you're buying it that fresh and it's just been harvested, it will keep far longer than, again, anything that you buy that's been shipped in from California. So you can buy a whole week's worth of groceries, really, and expect to use it. It will stay fresh.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty good. Yeah, I think that's a good point in reality, that when you do go to a supermarket, you are getting a food from somewhere else around the country or out of the country, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. I mean, I don't know if you saw the newspaper article that came out the other day, but a lot of our food is coming in from China now. And even during the growing season in Minneapolis, where, you know, we have lots of access to fresh farms, we're only getting about 8% of our produce locally. And back before World War II, people got about 80% of their produce locally and only 4% of it from different areas in the country and the world.
How does it work if a commercial restaurant wants to shop at a farmer's market? Can they do that, or do they buy it from the farmer direct?
Typically, the restaurants buy it directly from the farmer, because they'll often, in our area anyway, they'll contract with the farmer to commit to buy a percentage of their crops through the year. And it does two things. One, it strengthens that relationship, and B, they may also want specialty vegetables. And what happens then is we see the excess of the specialty vegetables being sold at the market. Mm. So, you know, they may meet with a restaurateur, may meet with a farmer and say, you know, I really love this kind of eggplant, and I want those kind of tomatoes, and I want these kinds of beans. And it might be something that's so specific that the farmer would be willing to plant those things just for that restaurateur, and the restaurateur will commit to buy the entire crop. Mm-hmm. But then the farmer will feel comfortable enough, because they have that commitment, to plant a few extra to be able to sell at the market. So the benefit to me as a cook and a shopper is that when I go to the market, I'll find things that I won't typically find in the grocery store that are being grown for restaurants.
All right. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Beth Dooley, who is the author of Minnesota's Bounty, a Farmer's Market Cookbook. And Beth, what are your thoughts about recipes? I know it's come up in your book a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I write recipes, but I'm not in love with recipes, and I really use them as guidelines. They're for ideas. They generate ideas. They give you an idea of quantity, you know, how much stock you might need to use for a soup, or how much oil to add to a vinaigrette. But there's no reason to really be locked into a specific recipe. And so the idea of a recipe is to give you a basic formula to give you some ideas, but if asparagus aren't available, sweet peas are, certainly you can substitute the sweet peas for the asparagus, for instance. Or if there's no asparagus at all because it's too early in the season, you can use spinach and watercress and, you know, fiddlehead ferns, for instance, to substitute for the spinach. So if people get too locked into a recipe, they may not make something because they think they don't have all the ingredients, when in fact they can, and they can make it more their own just by substituting something else or by tweaking the flavors. You know, sometimes I'll substitute, for instance, lime juice for lemon juice or lemon juice for vinegar. Just think about what the recipe is really doing in terms of a balance of flavors and then play around with it.
And so how would you rate the farmers markets in Minneapolis and greater Minnesota to ones, say, in Wisconsin or the Dakotas or Iowa?
You know, they all have their own special cultures. They're all great. I mean, every time I go to a different farmers market, I learn something new. And of course, the markets that you find down in southern Minnesota are going to have different things than what you'll find here. If you go down to Winona, you may find fresh ginger, which is really a treat, but you're not going to find it come this far up. When you go up into northern Minnesota, into the Bayfield area, there are wonderful apples and some blueberries and some specialty crops that you won't find down in Minneapolis. And of course, when you go, you know, one of the things I love up in Grand Marais are, again, some of the orchard fruits, and I love Lakeland Dairy has got some wonderful, you know, dairy products and stuff, or Lakeview Dairy, rather, fish, things like that, that we won't see down in the Minneapolis market. So every area sort of has its own kind of vibe to it, and its own, you know, and they're all going to have different crops depending on where they are in the season.
Right, and yeah, the season, so it's really seasonal. And so, and what about in the winter months? Is there anything that happens with the Minneapolis?
Yeah, in our area anyway, a lot of the markets are staying open through the year. The St. Paul market is only open on Saturdays through the entire year, and the Minneapolis market shuts down for a couple of months. But what we're seeing are a lot of the storage crops, so carrots and root vegetables and some of the cabbages, certainly potatoes, and then and parsnips and that kind of thing. But we're also seeing a lot of honey, maple syrup, lots of meats, beautiful cheeses, absolutely gorgeous cheeses. I love going to the market in the wintertime because it's slower, and, you know, you can really focus on both those very special things you won't find in the supermarket, and then some of the storage crops that are grown and harvested in the fall but actually taste better after they've been stored. There are several varieties of carrots and parsnips, for instance, that taste better when they've had a chance for their carbohydrates to convert to sugar. And so you get carrots that are sweeter in January than they were when they were harvested in late October.
This is Ann. I had a quick question.
Hi.
So we had, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, we had a gentleman on this show who in the cities, and I don't remember his name, but he was doing like this indoor farming of fish and herbs and lettuces.
Uh-huh.
Is that becoming pretty common?
It is. We're seeing a lot more of that. It's aquaculture and aquaponics. And it's a closed-loop system where it's typically tilapia and sometimes bass. And they're using the water from the fish, which you know, has a lot of nutrients in it, to water the greenhouse plants. And then the plants filter the water, and it comes back clean to the fish. And it's a really nice system. And we're seeing lettuces and watercress, things like kale and chard. Some of the deep leafy greens are being grown that way, and it's terrific.
And that would be available all year then because it's indoors?
Mm-hmm. Yep, those would be available all year, both the greens and the fish.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's great.
And Beth, besides being a restaurant critic for the Minneapolis St. Paul magazine and writing for the taste section for the Star Tribune, I noticed too that you also work for Wilderness Inquiry, which takes people out on the trail, whether it be by canoes or kayaks or different ways. And so maybe tell us a little bit about that.
We've got some really great trips planned. I'm doing a trip called Taste of the Apostles, which is a kayak trip in the Apostle Islands. We go out of Little Sand Bay, and we kayak all day, and then we come back, and all the food on the trail is local. So we have artisan cheeses and wonderful cured meats, smoked fish, beautiful artisan breads. And when we come back to the campsite at night, we have a lot of the farmstead meats, which we grill. We have grilled lamb, and we do a fish fry on the beach using the Lake Superior whitefish. And then we also have berry cobblers and beautiful artisan cheeses. And the fun thing is we invite the farmers who supply our cash to come and have dinner with us. And they can talk about the work that they're doing, the sustainability practices they use, and what life is like living in these areas and farming sustainably. And it's really a wonderful trip because it's a great way for people from the cities, especially, to get to know the food and the region at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's
so
really fun.
You'll be doing that this summer then?
Right. We have two trips planned this summer. We have one the first weekend in August. It leaves August 4th and it goes to the 9th. And then the second one leaves August 11th and it goes to that Sunday. And they're great. We have about 15 people that come out with us, and we've got kayak guides that take us out around the Apostles, and the campsites are permanent campsites, so they're platform tents, and we've got a wonderful cooking area, and, you know, it's all fresh. It's all really good.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, that's a fun little thing for you to do. And once again, your book that's out, Minnesota's Bounty, The Farmer's Market Cookbook, and when did this book come out?
You're nice to ask. It just launched this May, so it's fresh off the press, yeah.
It is, and it's a beautiful book. And I love how it's laid out by the food itself there. And it does kind of say, when you talk about, you know, not having a recipe, but finding out what you have at the farmer's market, buying that, and then finding the recipe for that particular item.
Right. And that's the fun of it. Just go and explore the markets and come back and cook.
All right. Well, do you have anything else for us tonight, Beth?
No, this has been such a treat. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us here on the Roadhouse.